And so may I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. How do you measure faith? It's a simple but also very difficult question. What is it? How do we conceive of it? Do we try and get out a ruler and try to measure something? Is it something that we could get a rather clever meter for and scan someone to check the levels? Is it a complicated equation whereby we tally our good deeds, those prayers said, those people in need helped, which is contrasted and weighed against those moments of irritation and indifference we have? Or is it something we accrue, like club card or nectar points, which we redeem when we manage to get enough? You prayed for good weather for your picnic. I'm sorry, but you've only got enough to exchange for a grey but dry day. It's a silly question in some ways, but it gets to the heart of this gospel passage today. What is faith? How do we understand it? How do we find it? So the context for the gospel this morning is that the beginning of Luke chapter 17 is a number of sayings of Jesus which have been put together. It starts with some hard sayings about the harshness of sin and its consequences. Then it goes on to some even harder sayings about how the disciples must forgive those who sin, even if they ask them 7 times a day. To keep on and keep on forgiving. To this, the disciples understandably go, "Well, Lord, this is a bit hard. Give us more faith to be able to do this." Jesus instead replies with the saying about the mustard seed. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted, be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." At first, the language appears to render faith in quantitative terms. "Give us more of it," say the disciples, as if you can be topped up or receive sufficient for the day. Jesus' reply about the mustard seed is about something which is small, but undeniably still a quantity. Is faith to be measured in this way? Well, no. The scorn of Jesus' tone and the absurd example of moving a mulberry tree into the sea is very much rubbishing the ideas of the disciples that faith is something given over or achieved or measured in some way. Jesus then goes on with the story about the slave and the master. It's a clunky and complicated sentence and set of propositions, and trying to discern its meaning isn't as simple as you might think. But what comes from it is the sense that of all the slaves do is simply what is required of them. We are perhaps in this day and age not so comfy with this saying and the existence of slavery, but it was a common idea and reality in Jesus' day. So much so that when we talk about slavery, it's not only discussing kind of socioeconomic relationships, but also relationships of devotion and care. Thus, at the very beginning of Luke's Gospel, in chapter 2, Simeon, when he blesses the baby Jesus, describes himself as a slave of God. The teaching here seems to be about that quality of closeness and devotion. Thanks is not needed, because those who perform the actions are doing it simply as part of what it means to be close and devoted to their master. In the context of the disciples asking for faith, it perhaps says, "Well, you may be close to me. You may be doing great things for the kingdom and for the gospel, but that doesn't give you any special status or favours. Your lot is very much the same as those whom you spread the good news to." And that sounds fairly simple, fairly obvious. But I think it's something we often forget in churches. Faith often gets confused with a sort of faithfulness. The things that we do within the church, the rotas, the groups, the meetings, the catering, and so on and so forth. All of which are vitally important, but very often become the measure upon which we compare and understand people's standing, their worth, and their importance within the church. It's very easy to slide into this sort of thinking, to become the sort of place where you have to do your time before you're fully accepted into the life and the activity of a church, where the weight of history decides who gets listened to when the inevitable tensions arise, where there is a sense of whose church it is rather than who it is fully open to. To a degree, it's understandable, but it's something that stands in contrast to what we see in the gospel passage this morning. It's something which is also reflected in our epistle this morning. I've always had a soft spot for the letters to Timothy, because they're letters to a new and young pastor, and there is a spirit of care and of passing something on which is integral to them. Paul is nearing the end of his mission. He's empowering and encouraging Timothy as he starts his. It's in this context that Paul reminds Timothy of his own history, of all that has made him the person that he is. When Paul talks about faith being passed on from generation to generation, he uses a lovely word, the idea that faith first took up residence. The idea of living in a house, of sharing, is there. In this letter, it's found in Timothy's grandmother, Lois. It's passed on to his mother, Eunice. And now it's been passed on to Timothy. And there's a parallel drawn between what has happened in Timothy's family has also happened in the whole church, that place where faith is grounded, where faith is found. But then again, despite all that, Paul comes once again to remind him that despite the heritage within the family, within the church that Timothy ministers to, what matters at the core of it all is that rediscovery of faith. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit and a power of love and self-discipline. Guard the good treasure that has been entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. Faith as a gift and as a work of God is what emerges in the picture here. Faith not based on the deeds and the accomplishments and the tallying up of all that Timothy, his mother, and his grandmother have done. Faith created not out of the works of the church in which he ministers, but faith as part of the gift and the power of God. When we talk about faith, then, we are not talking about our achievements, our history, our standing. The illustration in the gospel of the mustard seed is not about quantifying faith to even such a small amount. In fact, the whole picture makes absurd the idea that faith can be measured. Rather, it's not about the disciples. It's not even about us gathered here today and how we weight our faith against those of others. Rather, the infinitely small nature of the mustard seed in the parable is there to highlight, by contrast, the infinite goodness of the God in whom faith is rooted and based. If you read through John of the Cross's Meditations, The Dark Night of the Soul, there is a lovely part where he compares the cardinal virtues of faith, hope, and love to the human faculties of understanding, memory, and desire. For John, in all things, there will be a place when our rational understanding comes to an end, when our systems which talk about and define how we understand God will fail. And that point is when understanding is transformed into faith. It's transformed into faith which is based on the idea of a dependable relationship. God is the one on whom we depend, one whom we can be in relationship with. It's not something we possess, measure, or own. The dependability comes not from us, but from Him. If we understand faith as dependability of relationship, it's through that we can do all the things the gospel calls us to forgive others, to work and toil for little or no thanks, and in time to be open and dependable to others, all based on the goodness of God rather than what we manage to do in His name. That is a way of life which you are called to embody in the church, to show a faith that is available and vital to all, whether you've been here 2 weeks or 20 years. Faith is about that relationship which we are seeking to deepen, that understanding of God, which is based on knowing what He has done for us and the hope of what He will do in the future. By returning to that sense of relationship as the source for all that we do, and as we do so, enabling it to share with others. Faith with relationship enables us to grow as a church, to grow as people who are open, caring, valuing of others, mirroring that relationship we have with the Father. This parable of the mustard seed is always challenging. And what it challenges us to do is to let go of our conceptions of how church works and what part we have in it. But once again, to return to God as the source and the fountain of all good things. To pay attention to that relationship and to let new things grow from that. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.